A question from Georgina Meir. Did Prabhupada name his version of the Gita as it is to give a sub-meaning to Tattvamasi, that thou art, and Aham Brahmasmi? That's very interesting. I never thought of that, actually. because Srila Prabhupada explained that Gita as it is, as it is addition to the title, means that it's being, Bhagavad Gita is herein presented according to the way that Krishna, the original speaker of Gita, intended. It's not with any other interpretation. It's not to give the idea that as it is means that you are it. You are the all in all. It is to understand who we are. We are not it. We are not all in all. We are intimately connected with the all in all, who is Krishna. But we are not all in all. If we were all in all, we wouldn't have to ask questions. Why is it that bhakti can be attained? This is another question from Georgina Meir. Why is it that bhakti can be attained without necessarily taking part in other forms of yoga? Well, yoga means to link. The yoga processes are meant ultimately for linking with the Supreme. And it also means to link with ourselves, to come in contact with our actual being, who we are, to re-link with ourselves. So that is done naturally through bhakti yoga, because our existential position, our ultimate ontological position, is that we are individual living beings, part and parcel of the Supreme Being Krishna, and our relationship with Him is one of exquisite, eternal love. So bhakti means to love, and in bhakti the means and the end are the same. One practices bhakti yoga by hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna, serving Krishna, and so on. And these processes of practice in yoga, they revive our natural attraction for love of Krishna, which is when it's mature, then we are yoga. We are linked with Krishna. Whereas other processes of yoga are just to help us to come out of the fever of a materialistic consciousness, but they help us to reduce the fever so that proper medicine can be applied. This is an analogy. But they don't directly link us with Krishna as bhakti does. So others' processes of yoga are steps toward bhakti yoga. That's why if we take to bhakti directly, there's no need of following other processes of yoga, such as karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, raja yoga, kriya yoga, and so on. The next question, Narada Muni explains in the Bhakti Sutras that bhakti is the fruit of all yoga paths. My real question is, where is the tree or vine in relation to this metaphor? Yes, well, it is a metaphor, but it's not supposed to be a totally parallel analogy. If you get the goal, which is love of Krishna, then there's no need of going through all the other processes. But the other processes can be the other processes can be helpful to bring one to bhakti. But if we get the result, here the fruit means the result. If we come to the process which gives us the result, then there's no need of going through the sub-processes. Something, just I'll give another analogy here, just like Mozart was a child genius in composing music, so he didn't need to go through regular training as others may do. So in music, so for others, the fruit or the pinnacle of training in music is to be able to compose and perform. But for Mozart, he didn't have to go through all those processes because actually from a previous life, he was already perfect. So primary processes are not needed for one who can immediately get the result. So where is the tree and the fruit, the tree and the vine, it's not necessarily applicable here. It may be applicable. It may be that someone goes through various processes, but if one is fortunate enough to come to the proper result immediately, then there's no need of going through the sub-processes.